Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has set in motion a plan for his office to take over and combine the growing number of local government lawsuits to recover damages from opioid manufacturers and distributors. Three state lawmakers have drafted a bill that, if enacted, would achieve that goal. But that's a big if at this point. A raft of local government organizations, and from the Ohio Municipal League to the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association, all the way to the governor, have called the plan a mistake. Some have criticized it as a power grab. Coming up, we'll hear from one of those lawmakers who helped draft the bill, and we'll hear from Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein, who opposes the plan. Columbus Dispatch senior reporter Randy Ludlow helped break the story about the plan. He joins us now. Welcome to the show, Randy.
Good morning, Ann.
What's the logic behind Dave Yost's plan?
Well, the Attorney General contends that, indeed, it would be unconstitutional if the local governments go forward with their lawsuits, that the state has an overriding interest here, and that it should be legally entitled to pursue these actions and recover the funds.
The state wasn't the first to file suit, though, was it?
Well, the state, former Attorney General Mike DeWine, now governor, filed separate suits in Ross County against the manufacturers and in Madison County against the distributors, opting not to join a lawsuit brought by most of the state attorneys general, believing he would get a quicker resolution. Meanwhile, about 2,000 lawsuits from around the country, including roughly around 100 from Ohio municipalities and counties, been consolidated before a federal judge in Cleveland. That is the action that this proposed bill would eventually allow Yost to take over these suits, file his own action. It would empower the General Assembly to allocate the money. 5% will go to the local government lawyers they have hired. 5% will go to the Attorney General's office. And then the legislature would decide how to allocate the other 90% of the money, with the local governments to receive no less than a 20% cut of that 90%.
Do we know if something like this has occurred in any other state where lawsuits have been filed against the opioid manufacturers and distributors?
If there has been, I'm not aware of it. Obviously, the consolidation of 2,000 suits here in federal court in Cleveland took care of a bunch of them. Most of the state's attorney generals are also pursuing settlement talks as a group with the manufacturers and distributors. And indeed, Dave Yost's office is also trying to talk about the settlement of their suits. Indeed, Purdue Pharma this week indicating it might be willing to pay $10 to $12 billion to get the opioid mess off its back. There's a signal all this could reach ahead before any legislation could get out of the General Assembly. And it's just been total pushback on it. Learned of no support for it from anyone, basically, outside of Yost and the three lawmakers who are working on the bill.
We're going to hear from one of those lawmakers coming up later in the show. I'm talking with Columbus Dispatch senior reporter Randy Ludlow about Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost's plan for his office to take over and combine the local government lawsuits out there to recover damages from opioid manufacturers and distributors. Is there any sense for what's at stake here? How many billions of dollars are we talking about? Any idea yet?
Well, it would remain to be seen how any settlements, how the distribution would be affected with so many plaintiffs. I guess it would depend on the particulars in your community as far as its size, the depth of the problem confronted by local governments and responding and handling to opioid addiction and deaths and related police and fire calls. It remains to be seen how that would be divvied up.
The draft legislation, as you said, would give the Ohio General Assembly the power to distribute 90% of the of any damages from the lawsuits, and at least 20% of that would be earmarked for local governments that filed the lawsuits. Giving state lawmakers that much money to distribute might be tempting them to support the measure, right? I mean, you're right. We've heard from lots of groups, and we've heard from the governor, but is there any sense about what the rank and file of the House and the Senate might do in this case?
I assume the Democrats would largely be in opposition. The Republicans, I really don't know. I've not had a chance to go in depth on that angle of it. Mm-hmm. But there are fears here, if we harken back to the tobacco settlement, where the states received billions of dollars, and Ohio and the legislature controlled that money, hoping it could be used for smoking cessation programs to fight tobacco. But eventually a lot of that money went places other than tobacco prevention. So some people, I think, are worried of a repeat of tobacco, where the state had control of a large amount of money, and it was diverted to things other than tobacco.
Right. In 2010, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that state officials acted legally when they spent the remaining $230 million left over from that $10 billion settlement on programs unrelated to anti-smoking programs for which they were earmarked. So is there anything in the language that would prevent that from happening?
Not that I see in it. It's a relatively 4 or 5 page, pretty straightforward bill. Some also expressed concerns that the wording of the bill could potentially allow the Attorney General to take over other litigation, because it defines a matter of statewide concern as involving lawsuits on the same or similar topic from at least 5 counties.
Okay, is that why Summit County Executive Eileen Shapiro called it unconstitutional?
Well, I talked to Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien. He believes it's unconstitutional on three fronts. One, that the Ohio Constitution guarantees free and ready access to the courts, that would constitute retroactive lawmaking, which is forbidden by the Constitution, and that it also runs into two other constitutional problems.
And what are your expectations about how, you're saying that this could be a moot point in the next few weeks? Why do you think Dave Yost is doing this then?
Well, I think he sincerely believes that as the Attorney General, he has purview over this, and that there should not be a scattershot distribution of funds here that the state can best handle and most effectively allocate any recoveries.
Is this something that he talked about in running for election?
I never recall this coming up. If this was a trial balloon, it hasn't floated very high. We were able to obtain a copy of the draft legislation and break the story, and it was the first I had ever even heard of anything like this.
Has he spoken out publicly about this? I've seen written comments. Anything publicly yet?
His office issued a statement yesterday in response to Governor DeWine calling it a serious mistake, in which he said they look forward to continuing to discuss this and see how it plays before the legislature.
Hmm. We did invite somebody, Dave Yost, to begin with, or anybody from the Attorney General's office to the program to talk on this topic. And they said that Dave Yost was not doing any interviews this week. So what's the next step? What have you heard from the three lawmakers who have who drafted the legislation? Are they going to introduce it?
Well, I reached out to Bob Cupp, who is identified to me as the leader among the three lawmakers mentioned. He's a former Ohio Supreme Court justice, now a state representative. He was former chief legal counsel to Dave Yost when he was a state auditor. So there's a connection there, mm-hmm. but I did not hear from Representative Cupp.
Hmm. And, he didn't respond to your call?
No.
So we don't know about any kind of timeline. And as far as what's going on with those 2,000 lawsuits that have been consolidated, that's at that's a federal consolidation, right, in a federal court?
Right. Even if this legislation passed, it would, and Yost moved to take over these suits, his motions to dismiss would be subject to a ruling by the federal court judge in Cleveland.
Right, who already consolidated them, right?
Well, they were. I don't know if he did, but certainly the Justice Department decided to consolidate them in the Northern District of Ohio.
Well, I guess that's it for now. We're going to be hearing from Senator John Eklund. He's a Republican from Chardon, who's one of the three lawmakers to help draft the legislation. And also coming up, Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Randy Ledlow, senior reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ann.
We will continue our conversation. If you have a question or comment, again, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has set in motion a plan for his office to take over and combine the growing number of local government lawsuits to recover damages from opioid manufacturers and distributors. In the plan, the Ohio General Assembly would control or largely control who gets most of the money. The governor, along with a raft of local government officials, have said they oppose the plan. Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association Executive Director Lou Tobin is among that group. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're also going to hear from Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein coming up. So stand by for that. Lou Tobin, you said that you feel like it's an infringement on prosecutors' authority and it's an infringement on home rule, right?
That's correct. I think I should start by saying that, you know, we see eye to eye with the Attorney General's office on many, many things. We are thankful for all the support that he provides to Ohio prosecutors and Ohio law enforcement. This is just an issue where we don't see eye to eye with him. Secondly, I'm hopeful that the governor's comments yesterday about this legislation being a serious mistake, followed up by him saying that if the legislature were to pass this legislation, he would veto it, will put an end to this so that we can go back to, I think, good government and letting the course of this litigation take its way.
What is your understanding about how this proceeds then? I mean, if the draft legislation is put into legislation, you know, is introduced as legislation, then it's just a matter of working its way through the Ohio General Assembly?
Yeah, that's correct. I think it would go through the typical legislative process. You know, it would have hearings in the Senate or House or both at the same time, subject to a signature by the governor. I think all of that is potentially a distraction at a late hour from what's going on in this litigation right now. You know, we heard this week that Purdue Pharma has made at least initial settlement offer. We're 50 days away from the first trials in Cleveland involving Cuyahoga County and Summit County. And I think this is disruptive and it's a distraction.
Why do you think he's doing it then?
You know, I think his heart is in the right place. We all want the same thing here. We want redress for the citizens of Ohio. Prosecutors want redress for their counties and their communities. Municipalities want redress for the people who live in their within their municipal authority. We want justice for the people who have been harmed by this, and we want the manufacturers and distributors and pharmacies to be held accountable. So I think the Attorney General's heart is in the right place, but the state has its own lawsuits. I don't think that there's any good reason for them to want to take over the local government's lawsuits as well.
As far as how the money's distributed, giving that control to the Ohio General Assembly for 90% of the money, what are your thoughts about that? Is the state not better, as Dave Yost is suggesting, at divvying up the money?
No, in this situation, I don't think that they are. Communities have suffered particularized harm from the opiate crisis, you know, from jails to courts to probation departments to addiction treatment to child protective services to EMS and other first responders. you know, the people in these communities that have suffered the harm from this are the closest to the people. They're the closest to the harm. And I think that they're perfectly situated to make decisions about how any recovery should be spent.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about a plan put forth by Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost to have his office take over and combine the growing number of local government lawsuits to recover damages from opioid manufacturers and distributors. In the plan, the Ohio General Assembly would control most of who gets most of the money. You just heard from Lou Tobin. He is the executive director of the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association, which disagrees with the attorney general on this topic. Joining us now is Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Zach.
You, Zach Klein, called it a power grab by the Attorney General of the state of Ohio. Why that kind of language?
Well, I don't know how to classify it any other way. I was hearing what Lou was saying about the particularized harm that is being faced by cities and counties across the state of Ohio and frankly, across the country, which is why 2,000 cities and counties across the country are part of a major lawsuit in front of a federal judge in Cleveland. And when you look at the particularized harm, like this is about first responders, police officers and firefighters and professional health workers that are employed by cities like Columbus, that are out on the front lines every day combating and trying to deal with opioids in our community and drug addiction generally. And so we're the ones that are footing the bill and that are actually aggrieved and harmed in this process, not necessarily the state of Ohio. I'm sure they have their losses too, and they have their own lawsuit, and that's fine. I'm not sure that the attorney general has the ability, even constitutionally, to tell any entity, whether it's a city or a county, that they can't file a lawsuit in federal court. That's all prescribed by the United States Constitution. And the Ohio attorney general, try as he may, can't rewrite the Ohio Constitution and who can file a law or the federal constitution on who can file a lawsuit or not. You know, as it specifically relates to the Ohio Constitution, like what we need with state government are partners and friends, not bullies who want to get in the way and try to just take the money and distribute it as they see fit. We've already seen how that kind of went awry in some of the tobacco settlement money, not filtering down to folks that desperately need it.
Yeah, it's not clear, I mean, what kind of parameters there would be on how the Ohio General Assembly would spend the money and how they would divvy it up, right, Lou Tobin?
That's correct. I think the legislation just says that 90% of any recovery would be controlled by the General Assembly, with as little as 20% to be funneled back to communities. And I agree with Zach completely that, you know, there are echoes of the tobacco settlement here. And one of the reasons that counties and municipalities decided to go this route in the first place, and, you know, it was a deliberate, well thought out consideration, I think, was, you know, that some of the tobacco settlement money was squandered. And I think that same concern exists here.
And Ann, I don't want to have to like rip off the Band-Aid that really has rubbed people the wrong way of how the legislature has historically dealt in the past decade with local government funding. But this is an approach that we've seen where already the legislature and state government officials are taking money away from state governments to fund recreation and parks that funds police and fire. So they've already had and created a posture where they're anti-city, they're anti-county and how some of this money is being allocated. So then to take the next approach and say, we want more money taken away from cities and counties is really kind of this cascading effect and a theme that we're seeing across some of the Republican decision making in state government.
Lou Tobin, you said that the draft bill, if it was enacted, would give the attorney general control as well over pending lawsuits involving sexual misconduct, for instance, by former Ohio State University team Dr. Richard Strauss. Also, what is going on with Columbus area Dr. William Husel, who has been accused of ordering potentially fatal doses of painkillers for 25 of his patients. What's the logic there?
Well, I think, you know, potentially it gives him the authority over those lawsuits.
It's like a slippery slope kind of argument?
Well, I think the way the legislation is drafted right now is just it's very overbroad. So it just says that a matter of statewide concern means any conduct or harm likely to adversely affect the citizens of five or more counties in Ohio, and that the attorney general would then have exclusive jurisdiction to file a lawsuit on their behalf. So, you know, I think if any of the five victims of the Strauss lawsuit come from five different counties in Ohio, or any of the five victims of the Dr. Husel lawsuits come from five different counties in Ohio, the attorney general potentially has jurisdiction over those cases. So there's just an overbreadth problem.
Zach Klein, what do you do from here? I mean, this is draft legislation. What are your plans?
Well, I think, you know, having a platform to be able to talk to legislators and to tell them how bad this plan is and what it really can do to adversely affect cities and counties who are aggrieved, not just by opioids, but any lawsuit where a city as a city entity or its first responders or healthcare professionals are aggrieved and have an injury, want to be able to seek recovery in court. You know, the attorney general in the state of Ohio doesn't have the ability to prevent us from making a claim in court when we are the actual injured party. So it's blatantly unconstitutional, in my opinion, that if it would ever come to fruition. I was certainly encouraged and give props to Governor DeWine for coming out and recognizing how bad of a piece of policy this is and saying that he would go as far as vetoing it. So just keeping the conversation going and educating the legislators in the Central Ohio community as it reflects me. I know the mayor of Dayton, Nan Whaley, and other mayors have come out and saying, like, expressing their concern, the Ohio Mayor's Alliance, you know, just making sure the legislature is educated and having the OPAA and Lou Tobin and others on board to do that, I think is important. I would just kind of pose the question of, could you imagine if the Department of Justice and the Congress came out and said that they're going to handle all litigation if it involves five or more states? I think you'd see governors and state attorney generals across the country really angry about that for obvious reasons. And you can understand from our perspective as cities and counties that we want to be able to have partnerships with the state government in order to overcome some of the harm that's been done and try to make right some of the many wrongs, especially as it relates to opioids and other problems in our community. And so seeing this is certainly it's problematic, and it's alarming that the attorney general wants to have such an aggressive posture that is antithetical to success of cities and counties.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. That's Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein. Also with us, Lou Tobin, Executive Director of the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association. We're talking about a plan by Attorney General Dave Yost to turn over authority or control of the lawsuits pending by local governments against pharmaceutical manufacturers and distributors regarding the opioid crisis in Ohio. Take control of all of those, consolidate them under his shop. Pretty much everybody we've talked to that represents an organization that represents local government, from city attorneys to prosecuting attorneys, have opposed the plan. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Lou Tobin, you know, in were you aware of this before it was reported?
No, I wasn't.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking, did the attorney general's office tap you for or your organization?
No, it wasn't. It was not shared with me by the attorney general's office. It was sent to me by a colleague of mine, and I subsequently sent it out to the prosecutors because it immediately concerned me.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from them?
Well, that they're concerned with it. You know, I think, not only from a timing standpoint, that we are less than 2 months away from the trial starting, and that
a lot of work has already been done.
These are decisions that county prosecutors made very deliberately in consultation with their county commissioners and other local government officials, that this is the route that they wanted to pursue. And I think, you know, I would echo Ron O'Brien's concerns about the constitutionality of it, too. And I think there were other members of my organization that shared those concerns.
Yeah. Ron O'Brien also brought up the issue of retroactivity, the retroactive nature of this. These lawsuits are already in place. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a very serious question about whether the General Assembly can do two things. I think, one, whether they can pass legislation now that impacts pending lawsuits and impacts rights of communities across Ohio that have already been impacted by this. and two, whether the General Assembly can tell the federal court in Cleveland how it has to manage its case. So this gives the Attorney General the authority to dismiss cases that are already pending. And I think there's a question about whether the Ohio legislature can do that.
Is that the Ohio Constitution guaranteeing free and ready access to the courts? Is that what we're talking about there?
That's the state courts. And there's another issue there as well. You know,
okay.
the legislation is essentially closing the doors to counties and local governments in certain situations. You know, the issue with the federal court, I think, is more of an issue with federalism.
Okay. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Mark.
Hello. A question for your guest. On the surface, the Attorney General's attempt to consolidate the cases would seem a power grab, and in fact, it might be a power and money grab. But two things occurred to me that might make sense for this approach, similar to a class action lawsuit on asbestos or other things, where instead of thousands of people individually going to court, one firm represents them all. If these are consolidated, in one case, the attorney's fees would be relatively limited, and if the attorney general's case would win, the monies that would be distributed would overwhelmingly go to the municipalities rather than attorney fees for hundreds and thousands of different lawsuits. And two is, if the individual entities, governmental agencies, were to take this to court individually, some would have more and some less effective litigators. So some would win and some would lose, not based on the merits of the case, but based on their litigators. So the results would be very arbitrary and unfair and uneven, and some would get nothing and some would get lots. And it just seems the Attorney General's approach might be the least expensive and fairest way to do this, even if it is a power grab. And wondered their thoughts on that matter.
Oh, yeah. Is that Klein?
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, that's what's going on in the federal lawsuit in Cleveland. There's 2,000 cities, counties from across the country that are all consolidated in the Northern District of Ohio with Judge Polster in Cleveland, and through multi-district litigation rules that allows us to consolidate to determine discovery issues that are common across a class, for example. So we're actually, through the multi-district litigation process, actually dealing with some of the issues that the caller is talking about. You know, having the money go directly to the General Assembly and taking a leap of faith that that money is going to be somehow distributed back to the cities. Again, I would reference, you know, what we've already seen over the past decade with Republicans taking money that is due to the cities through the local government fund to bandage some of the holes they have in the budget so they don't have to talk about, you know, potential tax increases. So we've already kind of are starting on a foot where, like, maybe there's a lack of trust between the General Assembly and cities on how local government funds are distributed, and to think that they're going to now receive hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially in opioid settlement money, that then that money is going to be trickled down to cities that are actually injured by police and fire runs and healthcare workers. It's a leap of faith that we may not want to take, not to mention the fact that, again, the city as a municipal corporation is actually an aggrieved party here. And to the caller's point, you know, you could really plug, whether it's opioids or any other situation where a city's aggrieved, you could plug any situation in there and say, well, why doesn't the Attorney General just represent us on that matter or just have a class action on any lawsuit? And I think it's just a slippery slope that, you know, parties, whether it's a city or a county or even someone in a car accident, they want to be able to handle their cases themselves to make sure they're getting equal representation to assert their claims and try to win in court. And that's exactly what we're doing.
You know, Dave Yost said in a written statement that, quote, cities and counties that individually race to the courthouse, hoping for the luck of the draw and attempting to get any money that they can, are grasping for power. Lou Tobin, like we've already talked about, there's been 2,000 lawsuits across the country consolidated in the federal court in Cleveland. There's 100 of those, I think, are Ohio cases. But is it a luck of the draw going to court over this issue at this point? What do you make of that reference?
You know, I don't think it's luck of the draw, and I don't think it was all at all a race to the courthouse steps to try to get recovery. You know, as I said earlier, I think these were deliberate decisions. They were well-considered decisions that were made by county prosecutors and county commissioners in consultation with other local government folks about what the best way to seek redress for their communities from the destruction and devastation that's been caused by the opiate manufacturers and distributors in Ohio. So, you know, I'm not sure that I agree with the Attorney General's comments there.
Zach Klein?
I mean, I agree with Lou. Like, at least for the city of Columbus, we spent a lot of time working with our Columbus Division of Police, with the mayor's office, with council, with the health department, with the fire department, and looking and seeing exactly what our damages are, the exposure we have, the claims we have. Like, this is not something we're just by a whim. We wanted to, you know, jump into a lawsuit. Like, we have real injuries, you know, in funding police and funding fire and funding health, not to mention the fact that we also federally qualified health centers that we fund that deal with rehabilitation, not-for-profits that deal with rehabilitation and recovery. So, like, we have real injuries. And like any other aggrieved party, real injured people want to be able to go to court and seek redressability for those claims.
Franklin County, Hamilton County, Cuyahoga County, they're wealthy, relatively speaking, wealthy counties that can afford to go to court. Hamilton County, you know, some counties in Ohio aren't going to be able to go to court because they simply don't have the resources. It's the same problem with when it comes to capital punishment cases and that kind of a thing, right? They just don't have the resources to even embark on that. And Dave Yost said in a prepared statement that a consolidated claim allows for broad representation in this fight for the greater good so that we can fairly deliver equitable relief to the communities based on impact. And no one can argue that some of the southwestern Ohio communities haven't been hit harder than any others in the state, and yet they're unlikely to have necessarily the resources to fight this in court, Zach Klein. I mean, what about them?
Well, I would kind of push back on that argument because there's villages and small cities and large cities. There's highly populated counties and low populated counties that are currently in court. Mm-hmm. They're in court in the Northern District of Ohio in front of Judge Polster.
Yep. Luke?
Yeah, I would just add to that that we have, I think, 137 plaintiffs from Ohio. You know, that's 137 municipalities. 50 plus some of those are Ohio counties. So over half of Ohio counties are plaintiffs. Counties and municipalities are still free to file their own lawsuits. So I just don't think that has not proved to be a problem.
Well, Lou Tobin, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Lou Tobin is the executive director of the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association, which opposes a plan to give the attorney general sole control over the growing number of local government lawsuits to recover damages from the opioid manufacturers and distributors. Another opponent of that, Zach Klein, Columbus City Attorney. Zach Klein, thanks so much for joining us.
It's always great to be on, Ann.
And we're coming up. We're going to hear from one of the lawmakers, one of the trio that has drafted the language for Attorney General Dave Yost. So stay with us. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has set in motion a plan for his office to take over and combine the local government lawsuits to recover damages from opioid manufacturers and distributors. In the plan, the Ohio General Assembly would control who gets most of the money. The governor, along with a raft of local government officials and organizations, have said they oppose the plan. Three state lawmakers drafted a bill at Yost's behest that, if enacted, would achieve his goals. Senator John Eklund, a Republican from Chardon, is among them. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you. How did you get involved in drafting this bill?
Well, I have not infrequent communications with the Attorney General about matters of current interest to his office, largely as a result of my being the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so I try to stay in touch, just as I did when Governor DeWine was the Attorney General. I try to stay in contact with his office and keep apprised of things that he thinks we could do to improve our system of justice a little bit. And this happened to be one topic of conversation we had a few weeks ago.
Did this topic come up when Mike DeWine was Attorney General?
I don't recall that it did, no.
Dave Yost said in a prepared statement that a consolidated claim allows for broad representation in the fight for the greater good so that we can fairly deliver equitable relief to communities based on impact. End quote. How is fairness built into the draft legislation that you worked on?
Largely by virtue of what happens to any proceeds that are collected through a settlement or a judgment in any of the cases that would be brought under the proposed draft legislation. Right now, of course, and I'm not saying we need to necessarily change this, but any county or city or anybody else who wants to bring a lawsuit of their own to address a matter of statewide concern, why, if they were to collect resources in a judgment or a settlement of some kind, why, as a general proposition, you start with, they are free to do with those resources whatever they please. And I'm not casting aspersions one way or the other. I'm just saying there are no bumpers around necessarily what those plaintiffs can do with those resources. The bill certainly has a framework for directing what happens if a matter of statewide concern is pursued by the Attorney General and resources result. It tells us what has to happen with those resources.
But it's only a few pages long. Does it delineate, and I have not seen it, does it describe how the General Assembly would divvy it up among the among the entities?
No, it doesn't get into that level of detail, but it definitely says that the resources would then be allocated to the matter that was the subject of the lawsuit in the first place. So if, and everybody's talking about opiate cases, cases against drug manufacturers, but the bill, of course, goes beyond that and talks about any matter of statewide interest. But if you're looking at the opioid matter, I mean, the resources would have to be distributed by the state government where is necessary to address the matter that was taken up in the case, which in that matter would be the opiate crisis.
In talking recently, just before you came on, with Lou Tobin of the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association and also Columbus City Attorney Zach Klein, Lou Tobin pointed out that the timing of this probably isn't very good, that we're just weeks away, a couple months away from a couple big cases maybe going to court, maybe going into settlement talks. They've already consolidated 2,000 cases across the country. More than 100 of them are from Ohio in the federal court in Cleveland. What about the timing of this?
Well, I don't suppose, given the interest that the localities seem to have in pursuing things on their own, I don't suppose there would be any good time from their perspective to be doing this. But we have come to a point where the court in Cleveland is going to be making some decisions. I think the Attorney General has tried to make his voice heard in that case, and maybe he'll be successful in some respect or another. But if not, then this is an appropriate backup in case the court in Cleveland makes decisions that are contrary to what we believe is in the best interest of all Ohioans and not just those who have somebody representing them in a lawsuit.
Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien has said that the draft of this legislation would be unconstitutional if enacted. He said that the Ohio Constitution guarantees free and ready access to the courts, and that this bill would block that.
I don't know that free and ready access to the court is a provision of the Constitution that controls who represents a person in court. And I'd be interested in having further conversation with the prosecutor, who I have great respect for, about his theory on that score. But when all we're talking about is deciding who represents a party as opposed to whether or not a party has a cause of action or can bring it in court, I don't think it implicates the Ohio Constitution. But I'm happy to ponder that further and talk with the prosecutor on it.
Another concern is that it is retroactive in nature, that these cases have already started, that they're already in play, and that you can't go backwards and redo that.
Well, the law on retroactive legislation in the state of Ohio is not quite as simple as all of that. And again, it's an issue that needs to be examined and carefully considered. Make no mistake about that. But one would have to determine, for example, the extent to which the statute would impair or eliminate a substantive right that was co-ate, that is, that was in existence mm-hmm. at the time the bill was passed. Now, the mere fact that a particular lawsuit would be dismissed, and under the bill, the Attorney General then would be the one to bring the case in a consolidated fashion, I'm having a hard time seeing why that procedural issue would fit within the jurisprudence of the Supreme Court when it comes to retroactive laws. Maybe it like I said, certainly needs to be more closely examined, but from where I sit, I'm not altogether sure that we're talking about the kind of substantive rights, other than inchoate rights to recover if they win, that are being impaired in any respect by what we're proposing here.
Summit County Executive Eileen Shapiro called the draft bill unconstitutional as well in a written statement. She said, at this level of government, we are in the best position to serve our local communities, and we know what we have spent and what we need for the future. What about that, Senator Eklund?
With respect, and I have not seen the executive's remarks, but the fact that local governments might be most appropriate to be deciding what to do and how to do it does not equate to constitutional infirmity. At least I'm not seeing the connection. So I'd have to reserve comment on the executive's remarks at this time.
Did Attorney General Dave Yost approach you about this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who did you consult in preparing the draft? Obviously, you worked with Senator Kupp and one other senator. Representative Kupp and one other senator on this. But between those in your trio, who did you consult on this?
Well, Senator Coley and I, mm-hmm. And our offices consult with it, and we consult with the Attorney General's office.
Are there any other states that have proceeded in this way?
I don't know. And quite honestly, I'm asked that a lot, or a lot of people ask that about legislation. You know, well, how do they do it in other states? And while it's an interesting point of conversation, it rarely matters that much to me, quite honestly, Ann, because just the fact that somebody else is doing something or not doing something is no reason to either accept it or reject it as a good idea or a bad one, in my view. Excuse me.
Does the draft language set forth any parameters for the General Assembly in doling out that 90% of the damages from the lawsuits?
Let's take a look at it, shall we, rather than what we do here. You have it with you?
I do not have it right in front of me, no.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to page 5% goes to this, 5% goes to that. The balance of the fund shall be allocated by the General Assembly to address matters of statewide concern, with not less than 20% of such allocation being directed to the involved political subdivision or subdivisions for use to remediate the conduct or harm that was a matter of statewide concern. So the draft says, you know, 5% goes to the Attorney General's office, 5% goes to pay private lawyers who the local political subdivisions may have hired. The rest of it, 90%, goes to the General Assembly to address the matters of statewide concern.
But now, it doesn't any matter of statewide concern.
To address matters of statewide concern. Mm-hmm. Now, does that need to be clarified to say which matters? We could do that. Does it need to be clarified to say that, by the way, and here's the number that we want for. I don't think you want to get too detailed with that, because at the end of the day, today's matter of statewide concern may be beyond us in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and something that we can't even conceive of today might be a matter of statewide concern 5 years from now. So I think you want to have a measure of flexibility. And although the bill draft, and remember, if I may, this hasn't even been introduced yet, okay? But this bill draft does say at least 20% of that remaining 90% of whatever is recovered goes to the local political subdivisions, okay? Now, does somebody want to adjust that number somehow? Does somebody have a better perception of how much, maybe all of the 90% ought to go to political subdivisions? I'm open to any conversations around that, and have been from the time that this first was undertaken.
How did you settle on the 90%, 20%? The 20%, well, how did you settle on that 20%?
At the end of the day, at least to my mind, we look at it from a standpoint of, yes, a lot of money and resources have been devoted to matters of statewide concern, like the opiate crisis. Much of what the state has put forward and spent on this issue has been spent through local governments and local governmental institutions, and sometimes directly by the state, and sometimes to non-governmental organizations directly by the state. So it's an effort to at least set a number for discussion purposes, to spark the conversation and see exactly where we come out. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that the Attorney General's office gets a piece because they would be bearing the administrative expense of proceeding. I don't think it's unfair to say that the any plaintiff's lawyers who had been engaged get 5% and pick a number, as far as I'm concerned. But it's a roundhouse way of sparking the conversation, and let's see where it goes.
In 2010, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that state officials acted legally when they spent that last $230 million left over from the $10 billion tobacco settlement on programs unrelated to the anti-smoking programs for which they were earmarked. Is there anything in the language that would prevent that from happening? So you're saying anything of statewide interest, so it could have absolutely nothing to do with the opioid crisis in the final analysis.
As it's written, I think that's true. But I also believe, if we take a closer look here, that there is at least this much of a parameter. The monies deposited into that statewide remediation fund shall not be used for infrastructure or roadway planning, maintenance, or construction, and shall not be securitized or monetized. In other words, a lot of now, you could add to that list. I mean, whatever makes everybody satisfied, I suppose, because, but again, the trick there is going to be, and it's not a trick, we do it all the time, is striking the right balance between being overly prescriptive, telling, you know, future generations of Ohioans how they should do things when they may find a better way to build a mousetrap. But at the same time, providing enough clarity that the kind of thing that you're talking about does not happen. That whole incident in 2010 occurred before I was in the General Assembly, and I just didn't think it was such a great idea at the time. But, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously the state was in a severe recession, and they needed the money, at least, and they used it to bolster the Medicaid funds, but as it may. Senator John Eklund, though, I just want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, man. And I want to thank you, if I may, for everything that you do to keep the public informed and in a thoughtful and purposeful way.
Thank you very much. That's Senator John Ackland. He is a Republican from Chardon and one of the three state lawmakers who helped draft what is still just draft legislation that would give the Ohio Attorney General's office control over local government opioid lawsuits in the state of Ohio. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.